tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Welcome back to Tip Today. Delighted to be joined in studio, as always, for a health slot by Muriel Cuddy from Health Screening Plus. Good morning, Muriel.
Morning, Ali.
Good to talk to you again today. Today, we're going to talk about food intolerance, because I think we're all probably suspicious that we do have an intolerance to some kind of food, but maybe, you know, because we're not having huge reactions to it, we kind of leave it alone and think we're all right. But how important is it to check out any possible intolerance?
Yeah, so there's a few sides to this, and this is why I wanted to talk about this today. So I suppose it's what we're finding in clinic, and children were a big issue, Ali. That was one side of it. And then the other side of it was we're always trying to check out what's new out there, what's better, what works, what doesn't work. And we test ourselves 24/7, literally, as many times as we can on different issues like this. And the food intolerance one was one of the ones that came in front of me a couple of weeks ago. And I'd done my own food intolerance test, which I haven't done, I'd say probably, it's probably about 18 months or 2 years since I've had one done, because I've a good idea of what agrees with me and doesn't agree with me.
Yeah.
But it's funny, and I've just shown you the report and how it looks, but like egg white and egg yolk came up really high for me, in the high reds, I think, egg white, and that's in everything.
Yeah, 69 you came up there egg white. That would be very high.
That's very high, yeah.
And would you have known it yourself that maybe when you had eggs that you just felt
An idea. So I kind of thought there's good cholesterol in eggs. It doesn't put your cholesterol in the wrong direction. But I kind of had an idea when my cholesterol was going up. The only thing I was eating out of the way that I felt mightn't agree with me were eggs. So I cut them out and my cholesterol came down to 4.9, which was a big deal. So I left them then. I didn't have them for a while. I love eggs. I'll eat
them. They're so handy.
Which way? And they're so handy. Yeah. And they're in everything, like all your baked stuff. They're in everything. But anyway, in the last couple of weeks, whatever, I felt again I was back on eggs again, not thinking. And I broke out in a rash. And I never attributed it to the eggs, but got the food intolerance test done. And there you are. The eggs came up, which is funny. The other things that came up in mind, dairy, goat's milk. So goat's milk, I've never had. So people often say, you know, if you do a food intolerance test, does it not show up what you're eating a lot of? But things that came up in mind, like goat's milk, vanilla, I don't have these at all in my diet. I've never had them in my diet. Maybe there's a reason for it. Maybe I don't like them for a reason. But it's a really good report, because food intolerance issues can cause so many things, Ali, like nausea, stomach cramping, bloating, vomiting, heartburn, acid reflux, diarrhea, constipation, headaches, migraines. So many different things.
I see your coffee came up as well as a borderline. Oh, I'd nearly take all of those things just for my cup of coffee.
And you know, I refused to agree that coffee wasn't. And that's funny again, because the girls in the office said to me the minute it came up, Muriel, you kept telling us that you were getting a pain in your head after your coffee in the morning.
Yeah.
And I did. But I was having dairy in the coffee, so then I cut the dairy out.
Maybe I just didn't have my coffee early enough, and that's why I had the headache.
Well, I was putting it down to maybe I'm not drinking enough water. Maybe I'm dehydrated because I'm drinking coffee. And so I was putting the two together. Now, I haven't given up the coffee, Ellie. So that's still there on the desk, and I'm sipping
it away. Stay strong, Muriel.
I'm trying to water it down as much as I can. But you know, the thing with intolerance issues is they don't kill you. You can get a handle on them, you know, and over time you can get it right, as in the 80-20. If something really doesn't agree with you, your body will know and it'll kick. And that's what we're having with kids at the minute. You won't eat it. So if it doesn't, I know now eggs, they don't agree with me. So I will avoid them if at all possible. I won't avoid the coffee because, yes, I'm getting a touch of a headache at times with it, but it's not killing me, if that makes sense to you. So it's not like an allergy. You're not going to get an anaphylactic shock or whatever with it. But over time, if it doesn't agree with you, it does kill your stomach. It does kill the lining of your stomach and all that kind of thing. So you don't feel
well.
Knowledge
is power. You can just pull back from it a little bit.
That's it. And over time, it's educating yourself. And like I said to you, if something doesn't make you feel well, you don't want it. Say like dairy in that. Like, do you remember I said to you earlier on to talk about kids and the whole putting together the profile of anorexia and that? With kids, once they actually realise what's not working for them, they won't eat it in a million years. But I've had three instances of children. I haven't been able to get the mothers, but we'll get them in that we can actually talk to them at some stage. But they had symptoms, the anorexic symptoms, that were very like the food intolerance symptoms. And it took us a while to put the two together. It was actually intolerance issues that they had that presented like anorexia, like losing weight and all the different bits and pieces. And that's very scary.
Wow.
You know? Yeah.
And obviously this isn't to kind of oversimplify, you know, anorexia nervosa, it's a very complicated, very complex thing. So we're not saying, you know, in the majority of cases, it can be answered by food intolerances. That's not what we're saying at all. But it's just a case of, you know, exploring everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because one case in mind, was a little 11-year-old boy, and he had been losing weight, and he had all the symptoms of anorexia, and his mother brought him to me. He was already getting the psychological assessment and that side of it done, and she brought him to me for the nutritional side. And he had everything from like fainting, extreme weight loss, the fatigue, just not interested in food, wouldn't eat at all. He was actually out of school. He was gone to that, you know, that stage that she just couldn't get him out of bed in the morning or whatever. And it took us a long, long time, Ali, to actually realise, you know, this is actually a food intolerance issue. Mm. So the things that he did eat, so he used to drink a glass of milk. He used to eat bread. So he used to eat certain things or whatever. But what he was eating were actually killing him. They were the food intolerances that were actually just completely making his system shut down. And when we went through it all, one day we'd done the intolerance test, I think about 6 months in, and it showed up one or two things, but not to the extent I needed it to show up. But we started doing the breath test and looking at his tongue and like the poo, the stool sample. Mm. So if anybody's listening, like, that's a big deal, guys. You know,
to
talk about poo and stuff, you know straight away about somebody's poo, you know, where they're at. But his tongue had a coating of yeast on it that was just scary, like a white, thick coat. And that's very simple for parents that are out there listening, just to take a look. If your tongue isn't that lovely, healthy pink colour, there's something wrong. There's something you're putting into your body that your body is kicking against. But we eventually realised, anyway, dairy, orange juice, nightshade foods, which are a bit like peppers and that kind of thing. There was four or five things that he was intolerant to, and we knocked him out of his diet just before Christmas last year. That was, I think, 3 weeks before Christmas. I messaged her Christmas Eve or the day before to say, listen, how's he getting on? I said, Muriel, he's a different child. He's back in school this week. You just couldn't believe, within a week of cutting out the different bits and pieces, how he started coming to again. Mentally, he felt better. You could see the weight going back on again. So,
because it affects everything, then it's mood and it's behaviour. It's very deep reaching, isn't
everything,
it?
Everything. So if you're putting something into your body that your body doesn't agree with, it's like putting petrol into a diesel car. That's the way it is. Your body is just not going to function, you know. And we weren't made, especially the processed foods and things like that, we weren't made in the very initial for our body to be able to tolerate things like that.
Yeah.
You know, and if you eat a lot of the one thing, body just kick over time and says, no, not having it.
Because if you have a really fussy child who will only eat certain amounts of food, you know, I know that it can be very, very frustrating. But is that the child's way then often of telling you that food doesn't agree with them?
Sometimes. And this again, the crossover is there again. And I suppose it's a bit scary, as in there's a picky eater and there's also a symptom or an illness called infantile anorexia. So there's a difference between the two, and we have to get it right. You know, it's a bit like, say, you're stressed or depression. There's a difference between the two, you know. And now anorexia has doubled in the last 10 years. So like that's really frightening. And like the stats are there. There's up to 15% of men actually getting anorexia now. 70 million people a year live with anorexia. And you know, one of the countries, this blew me away, like when we were talking about this earlier on, but Japan is actually has the highest instance of anorexia in the world.
Really?
And we would have talked with Japan how healthy they are.
Yeah.
You know, and the fish diet and plant-based and all the bits and pieces, but anorexia is a big deal. So that'll just tell you it's not just food related, as in it's a bigger.
I wonder what role social media plays in all of that then as well.
I think
I know it's very easy to blame social media though.
I think it doesn't help, because your looks, that's one of the things, definitely.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things with anorexia. It's psychological. There's a lot. It can be hereditary within the family. Stress. There's a lot of different things that drive anorexia, you know. Mm. And if somebody goes below a certain body weight, I couldn't even work with them. They'd have to get their body weight back up before you could.
Yeah.
But if you can get them before they actually go below that weight, you know, you're not too bad. But like eating disorders, they have the highest mortality rate of any mental illness. Isn't that scary?
My God.
You know, so like if you're talking, we're talking here about food and food issues and all the bits and pieces. And I'd say to people, like, if anybody's listening, you worry about weight and you worry about all those things. But when you see the other side of where it can actually go, if you have kids, even if they are a half stone or a stone overweight, and they're healthy and they're happy and they're smiling, chances are that'll come too over time.
Mm.
You put the healthiest choices in front of them, but you don't talk about it, like, as in you need to lose weight and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because when it is at the other side, you don't want to go there, you know. That's
But how do you kind of discern between we have a problem here and we just have a fussy child? How do you know the difference?
It's really hard to actually work out, especially when they're younger. All you can do when they're younger is help them maintain a healthy weight, if you can at all, by putting the food choices, and you stay offering the food choices to them of the different whatever. And like we even say, if it's only two peas on a plate and they eat one of the peas, that's it's in small ways, and it takes, what would you say, Ali, as a mother, it takes consistency. you have to have patience. If you're like me and you don't have patience, it can be an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
But it does take patience to actually get them through if you can at all. If it's on the other side and they're still losing weight and they're just not able to maintain and that, well, then you've got to go and bring them to a medical professional and get them checked out.
And when it comes to this food intolerance test, how is it conducted?
Okay, so the food intolerance test is so easy, literally. It's a pinprick, finger, literally, and it takes like about 2 or 3 minutes.
So it'll be like kind of checking, like a diabetic checking.
It's literally, it goes to a lab. So it's checked out in the lab and then you get a list of about 150 foods back to see where you're at.
Because there's some kind of random foods in the list then as well. I mean, you've what? Crustacean mix, that's all fish then, isn't it? Mm. Water chestnuts, like... Are these all like foods that are more common than we probably think they are?
Well, people eat everything. See, for wide your diet, like it depends. You know the way I say to people that there could be 50 ingredients in a food that you're eating. If you don't look at the back of the box, you don't know what's in it. So it's funny, we've done an intolerance test for a high profile girl in the last week or so. And things came back in her diet and was like, I can't believe that came up. And she said, I didn't think I was eating these things.
Yeah.
But when we actually delved into what was in the foods that she was eating a lot out. So she was eating in hotels and that. So they had different things, like they had seeds added to things that she didn't realise, and they had cream added to whatever, you know. So unless you actually know what's in your food, you don't really know, you know, what you're putting into your body, do you?
Yeah, that's true.
Did you see there in the list, though, they have wine on it too, Ellie?
I was just going to say, but I didn't want to judge, Muriel.
Came off okay, though, didn't it?
Yeah, it's in the greens, so I'll take it.
It's in the greens, fine, yeah. Maybe that was one of the things I looked down along and I was smiling because I was thinking the sulfates in wine, which can often kill you if you're anyway intolerant at all, but...
Can you grow out of food intolerances?
You can definitely add the foods back in. I won't say grow out of it. Some of it you can't. But if you do rehab your system back, so you need to take probiotics, you need to figure out what's actually happening. So there's bacteria in your gut and you've got to get that bacteria back to where it needs to be. The good bacteria more than bad. Like we've got, if you've ever heard of leaky gut, or SIBO or any of these.
No.
So they're intestinal disorders.
Yeah.
So leaky gut comes from a processed diet and dairy. And it's like gaps within your cell walls. And if you've got leaky gut, which comes from either like intolerance issues or eating wrong or whatever it is, it's food particles and that go through these gaps into your bloodstream. So you can imagine what that does to your body. It's not supposed to be there. Like the gaps aren't supposed to be there. But you can close those gaps. You can rehab it back, like through a good diet, good nutrition plan, get the list of what we would tell you, digestive enzymes and probiotics and things like that. You can, and then with your intolerance, once you cut out the foods, you can slowly reintroduce them again. So after 6 months, it's not like if you have an allergy to a peanut, you can't have a peanut.
Yeah.
You could die from that. But with intolerance issues, you will never die from it. Might make your system shut down to a certain extent, but you'll never die from it. So say milk, if you were to cut milk out, so dairy came up fairly high for me. If I cut that out for the next 6 months, my system will rehab and my gut will come too. Okay. How I test myself then to see if I'm still intolerant to dairy is I have a glass of milk in the morning at breakfast time. I have another glass at lunchtime, another glass maybe in the evening time. So a big hit of dairy. Now, if I'm still intolerant, I won't make it an hour after the breakfast time glass, Ali. I'll be gone running to the toilet or I'll be vomiting. Mm. I'll have cramps. I'll have all the different bits. So my system will tell me really fast, no, you're not to have dairy. But sometimes you can. It can come back and you can be fine and maybe I will be fine and I can drink it away again because my system, my internal system has come back and the bacteria is where it needs to be.
Wow. And how much does a food intolerance test cost?
160 euros.
Okay. You know, some people might say it's a lot, but, you know, it gives you a very clear picture for the rest of your life, really, on what you can and can't eat.
It does. Intolerance issues change now. So what I have there could be different for me in 2-3 years' time.
Really?
Depending on my diet and what I'm putting into it. So just for people to be aware, if I was living on sweet corn, okay, so I was having it every single day for my lunch or my dinner, and I was to do an intolerance issue, chances are sweet corn would come up fairly high. Because my body is starting to overreact to it. It's becoming sensitive to it.
Yeah.
It's saying, you're having the same food over and over and over again. So can you please cut back on it? Because your body is starting to react to it. So once I take it out, I might be fine and good to go again. Does that make sense to you? So intolerance issues can change. And I suppose for me, the initial for people, we would always say an elimination diet. So you eliminate things and you work on a one-to-one. And maybe you don't need to do that. I would always say, if you can do something like this first... So if we can actually get a handle on what do we take out first of all? Okay, so we take out the bigger ones. And after that, then you shouldn't need even to do an intolerance test because you start getting used to how your body feels. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You have a good idea yourself. Like I said, the eggs, the rash came up. If I had time and I do what I'm always preaching about, as in journaling and writing down things and writing down what I was eating, I probably would have figured out fairly fast, listen, I actually know, you know, what's causing it. Mm. But that takes time, and you need to get used to your body and how it feels with different things.
Are there any obvious symptoms that you can look for that would show that you have an intolerance, or does it differ from person to person?
The main ones, bloating, it has to be the number one. Like, you know, for women, like 3 months pregnant, you feel your trousers don't close, and you feel like you're 3 months or 6 months pregnant. Some people are like, you've got like the big distended tummy. Mm. Feeling like getting sick, that's one of the big ones. On the toilet, literally, you know. So if some people are completely intolerant to Chinese food and that, like, and they know straight away within 2 hours, like, they're going to have diarrhea, you know. So yeah. Things like that they're very obvious signs. With kids, fatigue, tiredness, things like that, you know, feeling cold, not wanting to go outside and stuff like that.
Pale.
So they're pale sometimes, yeah. Sometimes pale, yeah. But, not, it wouldn't be up there in the high.
Okay.
Yeah. In the
That's the problem with the kids. I mean, because you tend to maybe underwrite kind of what they're, you know, maybe you're tired, you didn't sleep well last night, you went to bed late last night, so you can tend to brush it off as
and
something very minor.
Could be something very, and you know, one of the things, just, I suppose, this is one of the big ones, we get a lot of people presenting with acid reflux.
Really?
And the gas and the heartburn, and near like 8 times out of 10, that's an intolerance. It's a food that just doesn't agree with them, and they're constantly eating the food. So the sphincter that's here at the top of the esophagus is literally becoming weaker over time. So the foods stay coming back up. So, you know, you really need to get to the bottom of that. There's no point taking the rescue remedies and the anti-acid tablets or whatever, because they're actually killing your stomach.
Because that's the problem. Because if you went to a GP and said that I'm getting awful acid reflux, he'd give you Losec or something to kind of help
tablet.
That.
Yeah, which actually kills your system. So
wow.
It might stop it while you're actually having that particular food. But like, why would you have that particular food? It's actually killing your system. So like, I laugh because, you know, you see the pictures at Christmas time or whatever, and people are showing off like their lovely dinners and all the bits. But like 9 times out of 10, if you look into the picture, you'll actually see most people have the tablets they use all the time on the worktop, but you'll see like the Gaviscons, etc. on the worktop. So like, Christmas time, guys, eat what you like at Christmas time and take what you like at Christmas time. That's literally, but all year long, definitely to be having to live on any kind of you know, anti-acid tablet or whatever, it doesn't make sense. Your body is killing itself, so you need to get to the root of where it's actually coming from. And yeah,
because we've been kind of conditioned to think that that's a very mild tablet to take and it's okay to take that every day.
Yeah but it's not.
Wow.
It's actually killing your system. I'm reading a book even on it at the minute, and it's for another day because it would just take too long, but the anti-acid remedies are just not good for us. Same as the Nurofen, same as any of these paracetamols or whatever, how would they be? They're a drug. You know,
very interesting. Yeah, we'd love to talk to you about that maybe in depth another day. We're just running out of time, though, I think. A lot of people asking, where can they get in touch if they want to take this test? Where can they go? How can they contact you?
Yeah, so just call 087-415-4998. And Ali, one of the days, we might even do it next week, we'll talk about the supplement side. That's massive. I have a lot of people asking me now this time of the year, supplements in relation to, say, even COVID and all that kind of thing. Mm. And even for the your gut and how to rehab it, and what should we be taking every day, and what's safe to take, and how much of it should we take, and that. So we might go there next week and explore that.
Because that's a very bespoke thing, isn't it? I mean, it's different from person to person. It's very difficult to identify what's the one you need.
It is. And a lot of the time you do need to get the testing done behind the scenes, but some of the ones are general, you know, that you can actually take and take right through the winter, like your vitamin D and things like that, and your calciums and stuff like that, you know. And do you get it from supplement, or do you get it from your food? Do you take it in the evening, or do you take it in the morning? So things like that. And even for the kids, what should they be taking? Mm. So what I'll do is I'll do a profile of like the kids, the teenagers, the adults, and then the hormonal side is in the menopause or whatever, and we'll run through it just to give people a quick overview, because it's the time of the year.
Absolutely.
And with COVID and everything around, if we can keep the immune system good and strong, we don't need to worry to the same extent.
Yeah. Muriel, a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming in with some great information there for us. Emma will have those details as well if you want to get in contact and find out more about getting that food intolerance test. We're back after this.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry. In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.